Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't just live in your home, you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascal stand-up tour continues throughout 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. My name is Craig Ferguson. The name of this podcast is Joy. I talk to interesting people about what brings them happiness. Please welcome today an artist who is emerging as one of the most important, powerful young voices in her field. She's also, well, she's not Scottish, but she's Scottish. You'll see. Bishop Briggs. What I'm fascinated by, because you work under the name Bishop Briggs,
yes,
right? And of course, what many people outside of Scotland may not know is Bishop Briggs is a little town in Scotland.
It is.
It's very, very close to where I grew up. And I think I'm probably about the same age as your parents.
Right.
Because I'm 61.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Do I know them?
Well, they said the name of, when having parents that don't live in the US, but I sent them a message through WhatsApp
right.
about this. And they're like, oh, he lives in, starts with a P. He's from... Prison.
He's from prison. He's from prison. No, Sarah, you must stay away from him I'm telling you, he's been to prison. No, I was from Springburn.
Okay.
So Springburn.
There's a P in there.
There is a P.
The second letter.
The second letter is
I can't
P.
believe you didn't get that from what I said.
I did kind of. I knew where I was from even before you started talking, so it wasn't a big deal for me.
You're smart.
You didn't grow up in Scotland though, did you?
No.
It's a shame because I think you've got a very Scottish accent. Do you go there a lot? Do your parents still take you there?
Yeah, that's like where I grew up going, and my whole family still lives in Scotland.
In Bishopbriggs?
Yeah, but my mum and dad actually live in Hong Kong currently, just to make things a little spicy.
Your parents, confusing. Your parents sound very international.
Yes.
Did you grow up very internationally? Is that what happened?
Okay, so I was born, it's just going to get very confusing, but I was born in London.
Okay.
And then when I was four, moved to Japan, not on my own. That would be a bit strange.
Although, have you ever seen that thing in Japanese TV where they let four-year-old kids walk around?
I know.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is a great way to describe growing up there, I will say.
Really?
Yeah, just so safe and like God, just amazing that. Culture. And
I didn't go to Japan until I was, God, I don't know, like 50 years old or something.
Oh,
but if
dream.
I had gone to Japan when I was young, I wouldn't have come back. I'd have gone, stayed.
It's a dream.
It's a wonderful place.
Yeah. So live there for 6 years and then Hong Kong 8 years. So my mom and dad are still there.
All right. What is it? Why are they up to? Yeah. What are they, spies?
Well, my dad is very charming and he does have a gold chain that he wears every day.
Right. Okay.
But no, it was just some...
Am I your dad? I may be your dad.
It's so weird because you do look like everyone in my family.
Of course I do. Yeah, I'm Scottish. Yeah.
Yes. And that's why, and I think you'll understand this too. I think sometimes people are like, oh my gosh, you'll get along so well. Like, what a great connection, which is true. But you put them in this category of family, you know, very quickly.
Yeah.
So you overshare, which is perfect for today.
Well, I'm not going to make you overshare. I don't want you to feel, don't feel guarded.
You're not making me overshare. Your freckles are.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the features are, yeah.
I think when you get into your 60s, they're not freckles anymore. I think they're just like, they're age. it's not, freckle is a young person's game. And I think now it's just like liver spots and stuff.
Oh my God.
It's bad. But listen, so you go to Scotland a lot then?
Yes.
Did you listen to Scottish artists? You have a very dramatic and big sound as an artist. You're very intensely emotional. Your music is very emotional and very powerful. And I wondered if there was any influence from Scotland in there.
Well, I will say, growing up in Japan, I mean, there's influence from Scotland in the sense that my mom and dad were obsessed with music.
Right.
And so we would go to karaoke bars, which at the time wasn't weird being in a bar at that age. But
no, I still think karaoke is okay.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that's really where like I became obsessed with music and got really into Motown music. And yeah, and there was like this gospel choir teacher that appeared at my school
that
in Japan.
That kind of makes sense with how you ended up as an artist or where you are right now as an artist anyway, because you are very, it's big. It's like, it's almost religious, the stuff you do, isn't it?
So I played a show in Scotland.
Right.
I want to remember the place, really small place, but it's so iconic. Like every...
King Tut's Wah Wah Hut.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the place.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Every like famous comedian has played there.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Everybody. Yes. Everybody's played there.
And, but what I didn't know, and my dad told me after, because of course, you know, he came to the show, which I'm so glad for, was it's quite an infamous place where they will tell you if they don't like you.
Well, in Glasgow, they'll tell
you. Yeah, they will tell you.
Sure. Yeah.
And just when you were asking if there was any influence from Scotland, I was performing, this is like the first song, and there's a little bit of a buildup. I hear the crowd saying something, but I don't recognize what they're saying. It's not a lyric. It's sort of like in between each lyric. And they're going, here we fucking go. Okay. Obsessed. Yeah. And anyways, I will say that energy of like, we're going to give our all. We're going to put it all on the table. We are super present.
Yeah.
That I really relate to in terms of music. I feel that energy.
That's very a great description of a Scottish audience as well. I started out when I was doing stand up with Scottish audiences, and the thing is about it, what you describe is perfectly accurate. That it is, it's about how present they are.
Yes.
So it's not that they're tough,
right?
It's just that they won't let you get away with it. They're there,
yes,
and they will be participating in the show. So you better be as well.
Yes. 100%.
And I think that it's a fascinating place. I don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
I live in Hong Kong. Where do you live now?
I live in LA.
Oh, in Los Angeles.
Yes.
Yeah.
What about you?
I lived in Los Angeles for 23 years.
Okay.
But now I'm in, have you heard of a place called New York?
No.
It's a little town on the East Coast. It's kind of a fishing village.
Interesting.
If you like the smell of weed and pee-pee when you walk around.
Weed
in the
and pee-pee.
Weed and pee-pee.
Yeah. That's actually what I felt when I hugged you. I said, weed and pee-pee.
Whoa, no way. Fuck, come on. I'm no longer your father. I don't have a daughter anymore. Weed and pee-pee. First of all, I haven't smoked weed in years. Do you smoke weed?
I don't.
Oh, no.
I've done it. Okay, I'll tell you something quick. Okay.
Okay.
I went to the dentist, which is the first mistake.
Why?
Don't go. Don't go.
I went to the dentist.
Well, yeah, same. Now.
All right. So well, you're Scottish. It's a kind of thing.
Well, so I go to the dentist and they're like, okay, amazing. So how long have you been chain smoking for?
Oh, what?
Yes. And I'm a vocalist. Not that that excuses anything, but so I was never into cigarettes, never smoked weed. Like, I was like, this is my thing.
Right.
Like, I need to protect my vocals. But it really is like British teeth, Scottish. You know, it's a thing.
Do you have a baby?
Yeah.
Was it after you were pregnant?
Yes.
Yeah, it's pregnancy.
You're kidding.
No, it happened to my wife too.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. There's something, it affects your teeth, I think, sometimes. Some women. And my wife, she's not Scottish, but her background is Scottish, like
yes.
you. And when our youngest was born, mm-hmm. she's got like American teeth, like, you
right.
know, and she had to get, like, she had cavities for the first time and had to get her wisdom teeth out and all that stuff.
Okay.
So it's the baby. It's nothing to do with smoking. It's not Scottish teeth.
Okay.
Yeah. How old is your baby?
Needless to, he's a year and a half.
Oh my God.
I
That's
know.
So
he's
cute.
So cute.
Are you getting any sleep?
No.
No, no, I know.
Well, honestly, right at this exact moment, I'm not, because do you know about this thing? Well, it's way too boring and I definitely don't want to talk about it, but it's right. the 20-month sleep regression. It's like this infamous thing. Is this anything?
It sounds familiar. I didn't know there was a name for it, but I have yes. two children. I mean,
okay.
They're growing up. Well, the youngest one's 13, but they're still, mm-hmm. they're growing up.
There was a reason I was going to bring up the teeth, though. It was related to something.
Because your baby's teething, maybe? Is that what's happening?
No, it was before the child.
It was chain smoking and weed.
Oh.
And yeah, I was listening.
So when, there you
I
go.
I am your father, but I still listen to you.
But when he asked that, I, instead of being like, oh no, like I don't do those things, I was like, I've smoked the weed 3 times in my life. And so unnecessary. And you could see he was just like, I'm going to vomit. Like, this is way too much information. But so I have done it 3 times in my life.
Smoked
and
weed
I like,
3 times.
I cleaned my apartment during it. And it was very, very positive experience.
I did not care for weed at all. I mean, I took all the drugs
yeah.
and the drink.
Yeah.
I took it all. And I hated weed the most. Weed,
really?
And, weed and speed. Were the two that I hated.
Oh my God, I want to know them. I want to know all your stories.
Well,
because I've never done drugs.
You know what? I think that is by far, like when I was doing drugs,
yeah.
I haven't done drugs and alcohol in 32 years.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So I was younger than you are now when I quit.
Right.
And there was no fentanyl when I was a kid.
That's what I was going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
So there wasn't like that.
It's so
kind
scary
of,
now.
Oh my God. Like mm-hmm. just you take it and you're dead?
Right.
No, I think I would have, I don't know if I'd have made it through that.
Right.
Because you just take crap that's lying around.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it's awful. So I'm glad to hear you don't do drugs. Me and your yeah. father and your mother, because we've all been talking on WhatsApp.
Exactly. We're on a WhatsApp group chat.
Well, you know, Sarah's coming in. And
oh my God.
We want to find out. They don't call you Bishop, do they?
No, they call me Sarah.
Yeah.
So my full name is Sarah McLaughlin.
I knew that.
Which you can't use.
Yeah, of course. Because... the arms of the angels.
That was beautiful. Yeah,
yeah, it's a lovely
feels like
song.
I'm there. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. It was just like it, wasn't it?
Really was.
You are a fucking Scottish girl. You've got a fucking attitude of a Scottish girl. You got away with nothing.
Oh, God.
I got away with nothing because we're going home.
Oh my God.
Right. So,
okay. So
you don't do the drugs and you don't do the drink.
Because you said my mom and dad are listening, right? So yeah. Never done. No, but I actually haven't.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't.
I don't get that vibe from you.
Yeah.
Were you drawn into music right away? Because you said
yes.
like your parents were obsessed with music.
Yes.
People of, especially Glaswegians, Bishop Briggs, of our generation, me and your parents' generation, mm-hmm. the music was everything.
Yes.
Everything.
Yeah.
It was all music all the time.
Right.
And American music mostly.
And the shows that my dad went to, like,
yeah.
he was like, oh, Led Zeppelin came through. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
like, it was
Glasgow
just incredible.
Apollo, everybody.
Right. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's where he went.
Yeah.
I saw
Queen there like 3 times on the Sheer Heart Attack album. And it's like right at the beginning. I saw
yes.
the Clash there. So, the, I mean, it's
oh my
nuts.
God. So did my
Bowie
dad.
There, you know, I mean, it's...
I mean, if you... Oh my God, that would be crazy.
I'd love to meet your dad.
You guys,
we'd probably have stories. Especially if he's
yeah.
charming with a gold chain.
He is.
I bet you I know him.
Well, his nickname is Cheeky Charlie.
Wait. Cheeky Charlie for Bishop Briggs. I'm pretty sure I know Cheeky Charlie from Bishop. I might even owe him money.
I know you're joking, but there's a part of it that feels real.
It does feel real. This is what's freaking me the fuck out. I think, but look, I bet, ask your dad, your mom and dad, did they go to Maestro's? Maestro's is another club they would have gone to.
Oh my God.
I bet
you are saying things that are really ringing a bell because
sure.
that's one of the places that they went to
yeah.
together.
I performed there with an actor from Bishop Briggs.
What?
Yeah. You know the actor Peter Capaldi?
Yes.
Well, Peter's from Bishop Briggs.
Oh, I didn't know
Peter
that.
Peter and I were in a band together when we were 18, 19 years old. I was a drummer. Peter was a singer. Peter's from Bishop Briggs and I grew up in Cumbernauld, but I'm from Springburn. And my mom used to work for his dad at the ice cream place.
Oh my God.
I know. Anyway, so we used to perform there. So I bet Cheeky Charlie for Bishop Briggs saw us performing.
Oh my God, 100%.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow. It's really interesting too. Like, I was just listening to something on the way over. I don't know why I can't reveal it. Right. Why am I not going to reveal it?
What was it? That's because you've got a baby.
It's this very provocative, sort of fun podcast called The Cancelled Podcast.
All right.
And they were talking about really finding their way with being on stage and right. And these two people, you know, they've kind of turned into moguls, but they really at their core are entertainers, you know? Right. So even if it's just them talking on a stage, you know, people are, they're drawn in.
Right.
And they were talking about different things that they did growing up, you know, even like 18 onwards, whatever.
Right.
Different things they did to find what they liked to do, but
sure.
It actually was all under the umbrella of entertaining. And some of it felt, oh, I don't know why, I don't really like this feeling.
Right.
And it's just interesting where your life took you and what you, you know, you're on stage playing drums.
Right.
But you do comedy, but you do a talk show. You know, it's like, but you find your thing as you go.
You do. You know? I think though that I was talking to someone about this recently, actually, because I've never been able to define what I do. I don't really do. I do whatever I do. But
yeah.
Basically, I guess it goes back to stand-up. And really stand-up,
yes.
I think stand-up is a musician's discipline. Like true stand-ups. I'm not talking about, there's a different type of stand-up now. There's short form, like
right.
45 second stuff on
yes.
social media. And it's not any less valid. It's just a different thing.
Different thing, yeah.
What I do is a kind of long form live thing. That's what I do.
Yes.
And it has a, I do it like a show. And a lot of stand-ups, you know, old timey stand-ups that I'm friends with, Jay Leno, or, you know, people who do it like that, they think like musicians. Robin Williams always say that as well. It's like jazz. So it's jazz. You know, you improvise, you do your thing. So.
Did you watch his documentary?
I did not, but I.
Oh, it's so good.
But we were friends.
Okay. It's very inspiring.
Yeah. But he was a very inspiring man.
Yeah.
Were you interested in comedy at all?
Comedy, no.
No.
I didn't even think to.
Well, I don't know. If you grew up in Japan, it's not, is it culturally a thing in Japan? Would you see it?
Not,
do you speak Japanese?
Okay. So in Japan, I just relied on cuteness. You know, that's how I got around. Cute. So I didn't have to do anything. In Hong Kong, I learned Mandarin and Cantonese.
Okay.
And studied French. So a bit all over the place.
No, I think that's good.
What I was going to say, though, and I wonder if you feel this too, it's very humbling when your whole family's from Scotland because there's you don't actually think you're funny because
everyone's funny.
Everyone is funny and also like at times 10 times funnier. And they're like,
yes.
No, I work at the bakery.
Yeah.
They're you know what I mean? So I'm impressed that I know exactly the area that you're from.
Right.
And I'm impressed that you still, you know, went forward,
yeah.
You know?
Well, I ran away. That's what it was. I fucked off because everybody else was funnier. But,
smart.
Yeah.
Lewis Capaldi.
Lewis Capaldi, who's Peter's nephew. Everybody's related. Like, you're my daughter. I mean, stepdaughter.
Lewis is my brother.
Yeah. I mean, it's all part of the same. There's only 5 million Scottish people.
Right.
And that's enough, though. you don't want any more than that.
That's true.
That's way more than enough. The Craig Ferguson Fancy Rascals stand-up tour continues throughout the United States in 2024. For a full list of dates and tickets, go to thecraigfergusonshow.com/tour. See you out there. You know how you can make your summer vacation better? Is with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding and loungewear. It's like being at home, but also going away. It's great. And now you can get 35% off. You can get the unmatched softness. It's really as buttery smoothness of Cozy Earth's bedding. It's better than the finest hotels, and you get a really good night's sleep on your travels. And that's important. It's travel friendly. It's hassle free. Cozy Earth's bedding comes in adorable totes, making it the perfect companion for your adventures near and far. You can stay cool and comfy during long flights, and you know what that's like, with the Cozy Earth temperature-regulating bamboo joggers and pullover crew. Makes you look cool when you're traveling. I like it. Well, as cool as I can look when I'm traveling. So discover your next destination for ultimate comfort at Cozy Earth. Visit cozyearth.com and use our code JOY at checkout and you'll get 35% off. And let them know we sent you after the checkout. Promo code JOY, J-O-Y, JOY. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Look, everybody has stuff that stresses them out and annoys them, and I'm no different from anybody else. For example, I get very irritated that people that wear shoes that look like feet. That's not a big deal, but it's a big deal to me. Obviously, there are much more important things to get worried about. Get them off your chest. When you keep them bottled up, it starts to affect you negatively. Now, therapy is a safe place to do that. That's what I did. And you figure out what's going on with you, work it through, and then let it go. Let it go, you see, that's what I think. I've done a lot of therapy, and I have to say I'm a very satisfied customer. If you think I'm kind of tense now, you should have seen me before I started. I really do recommend it. If you can do it, you should do it. If you're thinking of starting therapy, I'd suggest giving BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, it's designed to be convenient, it's flexible, and it's suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with, you know, a licensed therapist, a proper one, and then you can switch your therapist at any time for no additional charge. I just think it's a good idea. Give it a shot. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/joypod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/joypod.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Listen, I want to talk to you about the music, though, because your music is singular in the sense that it has a... Well, I was talking about earlier about the drama and the kind of the bigness of you as an artist at 30 is quite... That's where you are, right?
Yeah.
You're at 30 years old. It's huge. So what were you listening to when you were a teenager, when you were coming through?
I was listening to Aretha Franklin.
Okay.
Etta James.
Yeah, makes sense.
Otis Redding.
Yes.
But then there was the whole angle of like Queen, Janis Joplin, so
right.
Mick Jagger. You know, it's like there was still that performative aspect.
I've never seen you live. Are you very...
Why do you have to come to a show?
Yeah, I would love to come to a show.
Well, I go crazy on stage.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I'm running nonstop, jumping up and down, like laying on the ground.
I love it.
Going crazy. Yeah.
You know, I worked with Mick Jagger for a while.
What?
Yeah, we were writing.
You know this?
Yeah, well, I've got to tell you the story because it's
Please
about
do.
Performance. So we were writing a screenplay together for a movie that was never made. But during the Bridges to Babylon tour, I was on tour with Mick and we were writing during the day.
Stop.
No, it's true.
Stop.
Yeah. So the first time I met him, I was in Istanbul.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, come to the show tonight and you can see the... Because I'm going to... It's just a show, but you get an idea for it down the front. And I was like, all right. So I went to the show and I was down the front and geez, I mean, what a performer.
I mean,
he really threw down and it was unbelievable. And then after I was talking to him, we went out for dinner stuff and I said, wow, you really threw down tonight.
Yeah.
And it was a midweek show.
Yes.
And he said, it's always stayed with me and I want you to always remember this. He always said, no one ever paid money to see someone who was shy.
That is so good.
Isn't that fucking great? And he's like, because he's not,
I love
he's not
that.
Running around like crazy when he's not on stage. He's
yes.
an intelligent, thoughtful, clever human being. But when he's out there, oh my God.
Yes. I don't know if this is a Scottish thing or if this is just a human thing, but I definitely, or maybe just being creative, but I definitely always have that urgency to prove, you know? And even if like the proving, it's not necessarily validation. It's like proving that like we are in sync. You know, like that we're sharing a human experience or like, I don't know, something.
No, I think you're right. I think it's an emotional desperation.
Right.
I think it's an existential crisis, actually, at its. I'm not kidding. I mean, the.
No, I'm laughing because I'm like, yeah, I think so. I think that describes it perfectly.
Like, the most alive I ever feel is like when you're on a stage, doesn't matter, yes. It can be a huge stage or it can be a tiny stage, but when I'm in tune with the audience and when it's working.
Oh, my God.
And they're laughing and I'm laughing and it's like, and it's to say, I've talked to musicians about it. It's the same thing. You get into that area where. Information is coming in from not you.
Yes, like, yes, yes.
Something else is happening.
Always feel that.
Isn't that strange? Yes. Like, I think athletes call it the zone and all that. Mm-hmm. Kind of stuff. There's something weird about it.
It's funny because I love a good athlete documentary.
Yeah.
Because I really feel like, and which is crazy, but I do feel as though I can relate to that headspace of like, no matter what your day has been,
right?
You have to mentally put that to the side. And, you know, funnily, step into joy, especially with like,
right.
You know, with what we're describing and that shift, you know,
yeah.
That focus, you know,
and
something.
It's beautiful because it's where you can be okay.
Yeah. Yes. Like yes.
You know, when people say, how could he go on stage when that terrible thing happens? You go, I totally understand. Like, where else are you going to fucking go?
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like if you feel so bad.
Yes.
You know, you have to do something. You've had tragedy in your life. I have a tragedy.
Yes.
I mean, it's like, what the fuck do you do with that?
Right. 100%.
Yeah. And it's like you have to, it's relief almost.
Yes. And the people that have gone to the show, not the people that are talking about it. The people that have gone to the show are like,
yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad you did that. Like,
yeah.
I'm so glad we got to just have a moment, take a
yeah.
breather, and like actually be better in society now, you know?
Are you familiar with a comedian called Tig Notaro?
Oh, it rings a bell.
Tig Notaro is a great comedian.
Okay.
She's a really, really proper, real stand-up.
Oh,
and
I feel like I've seen some little clips.
You might have probably online and stuff like
yeah.
that. She's very famous.
Yeah.
But Tig got a cancer diagnosis during the day one day. And she went up. She's famous for this. She went up and did a show that night and talked about it that night. And
ooh.
I mean, she's on the other side of it and stuff like that. But she came very famous. It was a big moment for her in her career talking. But I totally understand why she did it. I totally get it. People
yes.
are like, how could she do that? I'm like, I get why she did. I mean,
yes.
God forbid I should ever have to do it like that. But
right.
But I get why she did it.
And it was interesting. My husband is in music as well. And
mm-hmm.
so we have these, you know, certain days we both have writing sessions, you know,
right.
separately. And, you know, where you work with a producer, you work with, and there was one particular artist that he was supposed to write with for her project.
Right.
And she canceled because of mental health. She was having a tough mental health day.
Right.
And we were talking about how if we, like, we're doing this because our mental health is yes. so poor.
Yeah, that's right. That's the only reason I'm a fucking stand-up. Because
right.
every day is a tough mental health
exactly.
day.
Yeah. And so, you know, I really felt for that artist. Just, I want to say that straight away. But it was
sure.
really interesting just the discussion that we both had after of like, it's actually, as much as it's difficult to get up and go to said session, it's so healing once you're there. And I feel that way with stage as well.
Yes.
The buildup to doing that is so difficult. And then when you're there, I feel such a sense of feeling understood.
Yeah. Or,
yeah.
Or I am where I'm meant to be in
yes.
the universe.
Yes.
Are you a religious person?
I would say I'm more spiritual.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're not churchy, but you're God conscious in some way.
Right. Well, you know, like it's very Scottish, Irish Catholicism
oh,
is
sure,
a thing,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
But I definitely have learned of other people's experiences and I'm like,
mm-hmm.
okay, I did not experience that, you know, where it sort of, there's a lot of guilt, like deep-seated guilt. And,
yeah.
yeah.
You probably escaped a bit of that being
so.
With Cheeky Charlie from Bishop Briggs in Hong Kong.
It's funny you say that because
yeah.
it really was all Cheeky Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was.
I bet. Good
yeah.
for him.
Yeah.
Are you still close with your parents?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I
talk to them every day. I'm obsessed with them. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're the best.
Yeah, they did tell me that in the WhatsApp group.
Oh, they
group.
Did, yeah.
I do like the idea
by the way,
of me being on a WhatsApp group with your mom and dad.
I do too. And by the way, my child, I'll show you a picture after,
mm-hmm.
but bright blue eyes,
yep.
the rosiest cheeks,
yep.
and the palest skin. And I'm like, that's my Uncle Joe.
Both my boys.
Really?
Yeah, both
it's
my
so,
boys.
It brings me so much joy because
yeah,
it's just like, it just looks like, you know, who you grew up with, you know?
Here's the thing about your music then. Did change when you became a parent?
Ooh. You know, honestly, I think, I'm not sure. There was so much that happened before I became a mom that almost like becoming a mom was like, I can finally breathe.
Right.
So I don't know, you know, I don't know if that was the thing that changed it.
Yeah. I mean, and also it's also, your kid is what?
Year and a half.
It's early to know. Yeah. I mean, these are big life shifts.
I mean, I'm curious your answer, first of all.
Okay.
What's your answer to that?
Well, when I became a parent?
Yeah.
It was a complete story for me. I became a different person. It was as significant in my life, but not in the first day. It wasn't like that day.
Yeah.
But the two biggest shifts in my life were getting sober when I was 29. And then when my first son was born, when I was 38. Mm. And I was like, within about 6 months or something, I was like, oh, it's different.
It helps you prioritize.
Yeah. Well, you go from being the star in the movie of your own life to being an extra in a movie of somebody else's life.
Yes.
You're a supporting player now.
Right.
You're no longer Cheeky Charlie.
I know.
You know, you're Bishop Briggs's mom.
Yeah.
Dad.
Mom and dad. Yes. There was something I was going to tell you there about what you're describing with, oh, you know, I mean, I'm curious if you feel this way too, but I found it affected my tolerance for any negative relationships in my life because now I felt like I was an example, you know, to this little person.
100%.
Yeah, where it was like, you're not, I also think I saw like a different softness in myself now. I had a little bit more like kindness for myself.
Yeah.
So when someone, you know, wasn't super kind to me, I'd be like, hey, like I'm a kind person. Like I now see myself as a mom. You know, so I now have like a deeper understanding of what that all means, you know?
I think so. I think it gives, look, it's not for everybody. The people that don't have kids and do fine, but I don't know who I would be without having experienced that. I don't know what it would be. Maybe I'd be something. I did notice this though. Here's my theory.
Okay.
Most great philosophers don't have kids.
I know. It's, well, that they know of.
Well, no,
is that a bit provocative?
I think they didn't. They
weren't present.
Yeah. Because they're always thinking about themselves.
Okay, but here's
fucking Schopenhauer, go fuck yourself. Fuck yourself, Kierkegaard.
Okay, but here's the thing. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're like, I don't want to have kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's someone in the group that's like, oh my God, you would love it. And I'm like, they know themselves better than we do.
Yeah.
They really do. Yeah. I think it's one thing if someone's like, there's room in the conversation depending on what it is.
Sure.
But when someone tells me, I don't want to have kids, I've never saw that for myself. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah, totally.
Like, you do your thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not for everyone.
No.
But yeah, I definitely sensed a shift with becoming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it prioritize? I mean, if it didn't have any effect on you creative, or you're not aware of it having an effect on you creatively, maybe yet.
Well, because I feel that thing that you described of like, it's an outer body experience.
Right.
So it's hard for me to say, you know, in that realm, what it affects. But I know that in the business side, it affects priorities.
Oh my God. Well, that's why I ended up doing a fucking late night show, because I was getting divorced from my son's mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I can't be out of town. I need a gig, which is in LA.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's why I ended up doing the fucking late night show. I never would be a fucking late. What do I know about late night television? I'm from fucking Glasgow. But I was here and I'm like, I need a gig.
But it's interesting because that's
take me out of town.
What your perspective is on that of like, what am I doing here? It's funny because that's what connects it, because then everyone can see a little bit of themselves in you, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. So here's my prediction for you, by the way.
Mm.
If it hasn't already
happened. I didn't know you were a psychic.
I'm a psychic. Have you been asked to do a song for a James Bond movie yet?
Oh my God. That is my goal.
Oh my God. It's so obvious that you have to do it.
Thank you so much. That is 100% my goal.
Really?
Yes. Of course.
I love that. I love that for you because it feels like the big kind of Shirley Bassey-ness.
Yes, yes.
Of it. My dad used to always say, Shirley Bassey. Oh, it's all women. He loved Shirley Bassey. I love Shirley Bassey.
So do I.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Goldfinger.
You see that?
Oh, yeah.
Will you do me a favor? Will you cover that song?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Maybe that's the start of everything.
Well,
if you are psychic, I should start with that.
Well, yeah, maybe. I mean, I don't know what they're going to do with Bond because they killed him in the last one. So they're going to have
I'm psychic as well.
I knew you were going to say that.
I also have a prediction, right, which is I think that they should make a Bond movie that's just about the women. Like they're the, obviously it's all about the women, you know, of course, you've seen the movies, but I'm just saying they are really like leading the way. I could just see that happening. I don't know.
I can see it happening too.
So I've been trying to write a song with that in mind.
Write a song for a Bond movie that hasn't yet been made.
Mm-hmm.
I fucking love that.
Trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you'll do it. It's fine. Clearly you're qualified. It's fine. Are you very instrumental? What do you work on? What do you write on?
I play piano.
Right.
Yeah, but it's very sad chords. There isn't a lot of happy chords.
A lot of black keys?
Oh,
yeah. You got to use the black keys because the white keys are the deedly dee dee and the black ones are...
Yes. That's funny. Yeah, I do a little minor. Yeah, a little minor walk down.
Are you ever aware of a Glaswegian artist called Alex Harvey?
Yes.
Right.
Oh my God. Yes. Wow. You're saying so many people that's so funny.
I want to tell you a story about Alex Harvey.
Please
I don't
do.
Know if it's true, but I heard this from somebody that worked with the band. Alex died years and years ago. He was a drinker and stuff. But the sensational Alex Harvey band wanted to do an album without him. So his band wanted to do an album without him and call it Sab Sensational Alex Harvey Band without Alex. And they went to him and they said, can we do that? And he said, you can on one condition. And they said, what? And they said, you don't use the chord E.
Oh my God.
You imagine a rock band.
Oh my God.
They can't use E. And I don't know if that's true, but I like
that
the idea.
That is great.
Right?
Yeah. That is great. Wow.
But the legacy of musicians from that part of the world,
yes,
I'm fascinated by musicians like bands like Mogwai. And,
yes.
And, yeah, I mean, it's crazy the influence of. You familiar with Roddy Frame? Aztec
Camera?
Oh my
God, this is so crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're naming all the people that, you know, I grew up in were in my home.
Yeah.
You know, because of my dad.
Right. Because your dad and I are the same age. And
exactly.
We listen to the same music.
Right. And weirdly went to the same shows.
Oh, well,
that's
it's
crazy.
It's not a big town. You
right,
know?
Right. I mean, it's still, well, okay, here's the thing. Part of my freak out, just for anyone that's listening, also is like, the craziness of being in LA.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And also, you know, okay, here's the thing. There's this, do you know what my gym is? It's like little toddler classes
or
whatever.
Oh, God, I've spent so much fucking time in
my
gym.
Oh, my God, so many times.
Yeah.
So long.
Yeah.
Anyways, there is this woman in there, and she has a thick Irish accent.
Yeah, I know the gym you're talking about.
Really?
Yeah, I've been there when my youngest was young.
Oh, my God, okay.
Yeah.
She's never going to come up to me and say, I think you're from Donegal.
No.
I think some of your family's from Donegal. And so it can be, and by the way, I insert myself in those situations, you know, if it's, you know, the right timing or whatever, where I'll be like, whereabouts are you from? And I try and find that connection, you know, elsewhere. But it's such a holding card to have an accent, which I don't have.
Right.
You know, to feel connected to others and for them to hear your voice across the room and be like, hey, are you from, like when my mom is literally a celebrity when she's in LA.
Right.
At the Ralphs.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, they're
yeah.
We love Moira.
That's
oh,
right.
We love Moira.
When like, my parents used to come, they're gone now, but when they were here, it was all like that. Like LA became a different place.
Yes.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to think, I'm covered, no worries. Well, not so fast. Remember, your out-of-pocket costs are not covered by insurance. That can be a lot of money for your family. But how do you know you're not being overbilled? It's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. Unless you're a billing expert, how do you know your medical bills are accurate? HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance. When your medical claims come in, HealthLock technology reviews the claim for errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. HealthLock makes it easy to find and fix hidden errors, so you pay only what you owe. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Bottom line, insurance alone isn't enough. To save, visit HealthLock.com. Do it today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
You know Wu-Tang Clan?
Yeah.
All right. You know RZA from Wu-Tang?
Yes.
So we did this bit on the late night show years and years ago. My mom came out to visit and RZA was on the show. And I said to RZA, will you do this comedy bit? Like, just take my mom out, Shore LA, and we'll film it in the car. And he's like, sure. So RZA went out and he took my mom to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles.
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
But it's like, it's this real scene,
yes,
right?
It's a scene.
And, but the thing is, RZA and my mom got on really well.
Yeah.
And so they kind of kept in touch. And my mom said to me a couple of years later, she said, hey, son, Tea in the Park is happening. I was like, uh-huh. She says, it's a big rock festival, Mom. She went, yeah, well, I've just noticed on the listings that Wu-Tang are coming. I went, yeah, Wu-Tang are probably coming. She went, well, I was thinking I might get in touch with RZA because I was going to take the ladies from Arthritis Care. To see Wu-Tang. I was like, I'm not sure, Mom. I'm not.
Yeah, and we say, oh, I'm not sure. And then they write directly and then they have like the best seats. Yeah.
I think if it would happen now, that mm-hmm. she would have gone. But social media wasn't quite where it was mm-hmm. then. Or yeah. They would have got in touch and done it. Because he's a great guy. He's a lovely man.
So great.
I love the idea of my mom.
Did he have that other band?
Yeah, he's had a lot of different projects,
okay,
I think.
Okay, because I think I performed with him at Coachella. I came out as a guest.
Stop.
And I sang the Florence and the Machine part.
Oh my God.
If this is ringing a bell for me.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not musically literate enough to know that, but...
And he was the nicest person in the entire world.
Well, that sounds like him.
Yeah. Yeah. So much charisma.
Very charismatic. Yeah. He doesn't shy away from marijuana as much as you and I do. I don't know about the pee-pee, but you can't sell the pee-pee under the marijuana. But I think that it's fascinating to me because you have a very odd story. So you grow up in Hong Kong.
Yes.
Right? And then how do you end up here?
Well, I just thought LA is, you know, where I thought I was going to come down the escalator at LAX.
Yeah.
Someone would say, who is that amazing vocalist over there?
Right.
That, and if you could see what I looked like at, you know, not that it matters, but if you could have seen what that person looked like.
Yeah.
2010 me.
Yeah.
It was a look. It was definitely a look. And, yeah, but so that's why I came here.
As it should be.
As it should be. As I mean, you're trying to make an impression.
You were what, 20?
No, I was 17 and a half.
17 and a half?
Yeah.
Charlie must have been out of his fucking skin.
Oh, he was. But my sister was going to school here.
Okay.
So she's 2 years older than me.
Right.
So that I had someone here.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's mm-hmm. that's a story then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that made a big difference. Economics major, just like me.
You were an economics major?
No, I'm joking. No. I went to school on Hollywood Boulevard.
Did you?
Yes. Musicians Institute.
Really?
Yes. World acclaimed.
Wow, that's kind of...
It actually was great, though.
So you write on the piano?
Yes.
Do you play only the piano?
Yeah.
Do you play the guitar?
No. Well, I took classic guitar, but it was not for me.
Really?
Yes.
Why would an instrument not be for you?
Well, this in particular was because I was socializing too much in the class, unfortunately. It was unfortunate. And that
has nothing to do with the guitar.
That's what I'm saying.
You.
That's why I said it very softly, like, oh, it wasn't for me, you know, like nothing to the guitar. But also, it is a totally different thing to learn.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you play?
Drums.
Everything.
Drums. I play a little guitar, but I'm bad at it. I'm so bad at it. I'm not good enough at it to allow myself to let anyone hear it. But I can drum a bit. I'm all right.
I love that.
Yeah. And that's okay. Do you know Katie Tunstall?
Oh my God, of course.
She's like one of my best friends.
You know her, know her.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You never met her?
No.
She's the greatest. You.
She started the entire movement of everything.
I know.
Truly.
I know.
Even doing the loop pedal.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's one
you
of the first people. Yeah, oh, I know.
I mean, she's like, it's like one old one-man band with the guy with the cymbals on his knees.
And right,
the, I mean, it's like the bass drum on his back and all that. She's unbelievable.
Yes, that is. By the way, do you feel that you attract musicians in your life? Because like at your core, you are a musician.
I'm a musician. Yeah. I think like a musician.
Yes.
And I tour like a musician.
Right.
And you've met Tomas, who works with me.
Yes.
Tomas is like, when he's not working with me, he works with Dinosaur Jr., you know
oh
what
my
I mean?
God.
It's
yes,
like he's yeah, my world, I'm more comfortable like that.
Right.
Because as corporate as the world is.
Yes.
And particularly in music has a terrible corporation kind of infestation
right.
in the music business. But at its core, the actual performers mm-hmm. are still, many of them are still pure
mm-hmm.
in the sense of that they have the kind of, that I want to say rock and roll, but you know what I mean? That
yes.
kind of like iconoclastic kind of fuck you attitude.
Yes.
That I think is, that's a clutch mechanism
mm-hmm.
that exists between us and them.
Right.
Because I think the corporation, like when I was doing late night, I loved doing the show.
Yeah.
But dealing with fucking television executives, you know, I mean.
Yes.
It gets old. And in your business, I think it might be changing a bit though with social media, is it? Where you guys can get directly to your audience again or not?
Right. Well, I mean, I kind of wonder, yeah, I'm interested to know how much late night, I mean, it feels like late night isn't evolving at the same pace as other things, because I just think if you did a little, you know, selfie video to TikTok saying like an example of what one of your jokes was going to be for, you know, the opening monologue or something.
Right.
And it did really well.
Yeah.
This is the equivalent of with music. And that little clip did really well.
Right.
Then you just show it to the TV execs.
Right.
And they say, oh, of course you can use that joke. Look how well it did. There's like proof of concept. But I just wonder what it would be now. I don't know.
I don't know what it would be. With executives, it wasn't so much the joke by joke thing or note by note thing. It was more about the general kind of vibe. Like, you know, don't be too much like this, don't be too much like
God.
That, don't say too much like this, don't go there, you know.
And I think I could imagine it to be very isolating.
It's the worst. You gotta be careful about that. The more successful you become, because you've got some big fucking shit in front of you, you should be very careful, because success is, I've looked at it, I've had some myself and I've seen others get it. And it's extremely dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, this is sort of a very specific story, but I tried this new therapist, and I had sort of taken a break from therapy being pregnant, you know, all this
Got
stuff.
Yeah.
And so I tried this new therapist, and I'm sharing, you know, the worst periods of life, you know,
sure.
and that's what I'm sharing. She goes, you just seem very comfortable. And I was like, oh, good. You know, like whatever. And then she goes, oh, you know, you're quite charming. Something like that. Okay.
All right.
And I realized as the conversation is going, and I feel like I could imagine you doing this too. I have worked really hard to, especially if I'm in a therapy situation or something where I'm seeking help, to really undo any performative things. I'm not there to be funny. I'm not
totally.
There. Yeah. And so I was really, you know, not in that space. But I realized as it was progressing, and that was really what she was taking, she couldn't stop that, you know, like that commentary. And I realized that's why so many comedians, that's why so many people that are in entertainment, they start to feel so isolated, because now I'm in a situation where I'm letting her down. You know, I'm being a bummer now, you know, if I really lean, she's really being entertained and now I'm going to, you know, be such a bummer. So now I feel like I can't share. And then there's something with, you know, maybe they find out what you do and they don't have a full awareness or scope of what that means. So then it seems very glittery. Then it's very exciting.
Yeah.
And so now, okay, I'll tell you something.
Okay.
Halfway through, she goes, is it a guy that you worked with? And I was like, no. She goes, I was just wondering if it was another one of my clients.
That's
but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Then you're, but I left feeling so isolated because it was like the pain isn't allowed.
I totally understand it.
And then also, by the way, when they are like, wow, that's so cool that you did X, Y, and Z. Then you're like, absolutely. Like, I'm so grateful for that. That's, you know, it's not that I'm not, you know. And then you're, does that make any sense?
Of course it does.
Okay.
I'll tell you an exact example. When I knew that I was going to leave late night television, in my heart, here's what it was.
Tell me.
I was walking in the building. I was about halfway through the run. I was about 5 years in. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I walked by, as I did every day, you get out your parking space and you walk in, there's my name's in big letters there. And I walk in and my picture's everywhere. My picture everywhere with really famous people on the wall.
Yeah.
My picture's everywhere. And my name's on all the stationery and everybody I meet, some people are actually wearing jackets and stuff with my name on their jackets. And and everybody I meet, about 150 people that work there, everybody I run into, all they want to do is make sure I'm okay.
Mm.
And that's not right.
Right.
That's not fucking right. I mean, it sounds like it'd be fun, but it's weird. Because some of them are...
And if you're not, then you've now ruined their day. They're very stressed trying to sort it.
They're trying to figure it out.
Of course.
And it might not be anything to do with them.
Of course.
You come in and like you get indigestion.
Totally.
And they're like, oh God, he's on the warpath.
Yes,
you know, and I'm
like,
not on the warpath. I have to go to the bathroom.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's like...
Well, because you're always on.
Yeah.
Which I think is what messes with your brain.
That's why I think you have to... That's why I'm very grateful to my children because... All the way through late night, my children were young.
Mm.
And so they just, they balanced all of that.
I wasn't
going anywhere.
Yes.
It was like, I was showbiz, showbiz, showbiz. And then we finished filming at 6 o'clock and I was home.
Right.
Changing diapers by 6:30.
Do you, when you speak to other people that were also late night hosts?
I don't.
Really?
It's not a community. It's not like a way
I know,
of
but
thought.
There's only like a handful.
I know. Jimmy Kimmel said that to me once. He said, we should get together. There's so few of us.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
but
yeah,
do they
no,
share
but,
the same experience that you...
I don't know. I remember when Seth Meyers was starting, he said he called me because it's kind of the thing you do is you call around. And I was congratulating him and stuff.
Yeah.
I said, you'll go crazy. And he said, no, I won't go crazy. And then I did a show a few years later and I said, have you gone crazy yet? And he hadn't. And
right.
I don't think he has gone crazy yet. So maybe it was me.
No. I think it also depends on how much is being micromanaged too.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, when they're like, you have to ask this specific question, this, I don't know. It takes out the formality of it turns into like a robot.
Yeah,
I
guess.
Know.
I mean, Leno and I are friends and he's...
But what's his history?
Scottish mother.
Really?
Yeah, his mother was Scottish.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was going to say stand up.
Yeah, oh, and stand up too, but his mother was Scottish.
Oh my God.
You said do you have relations in Donegal?
Yeah, so that's my dad's side of the family.
My Granny McGuire was from Donegal.
Oh God.
I bet we're related.
Oh God, we really.
I bet you we are.
McGuire,
wow. Yeah. Okay. McGuire from Donegal.
Small C.
Yeah, BZ McGuire from Donegal. She married my grandfather.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow. That's okay. We'll have to do some.
Yeah. And then the north end of Glasgow with all that Irish Donegal. Yeah.
Yes.
Probably. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's weird.
It is weird.
Yeah. But BZ McGuire married a Protestant, so they stopped. You know,
oh.
Yeah. Which was a big deal.
That's a very big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was raised, Protestant. I mean, but I was.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's your connection to faith? Just because you asked me. Just curious.
I feel like it's, I'm very, are you familiar with St. Augustine?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when he said, trying to understand the mind of God is like trying to pour the ocean into a cup.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I
really connect to that.
Yeah.
Yes. I think it's such a loaded question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's when I meet atheists and very intelligent people, some of them, and
yeah.
And they have this kind of unshakable "I know" thing, and I'm like, it seems very fundamental a stance for such an intelligent, questioning person,
right?
And I remember having a conversation with Stephen Fry about it, and Stephen said, because Stephen's an atheist, and I said, "Do
just
you,
casual, you having a conversation with him?"
Yeah.
But.
Me and Stephen and Cheeky Charlie from Fisher Briggs were all at the same age. I've known Stephen for a long time, and he said, when people say, do you believe in God, it's really, you've got to define the word God before you start
yes.
asking that question. And I mean, it's such a big, giant thing.
Yes. Also, I mean
angry
I don't
Santa
know.
On a cloud? No, I don't buy that.
Yeah. You know, but. I don't know how far into this we go, but I will say, so I've been an Al-Anon, you know, for many, many years.
Okay.
And my partner is openly sober. And so like that community is very, and I'm not a drinker.
Right.
So that is all at the forefront. I wouldn't say sober just because I know what he does and it feels right. different from what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, and one of the biggest first things they say is like, have the idea of God be whatever.
God as you understand it.
There we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was really freeing for him with his history with religion. And, you know, and I think
I
it
totally
really,
understand. Because
really
when I get sober,
people.
The same thing. I
yes.
mean, there were people that was, oh, this God thing, yes. God thing. But I get sober, in London, but very early on, I went to Glasgow because I had to kind of repair myself. And I'm in meetings with people who were members of the Communist Party. They're atheists.
Right.
You know,
right.
but they're sober. So there is it doesn't frighten me away all that,
yes.
the idea of God.
But I also think that's something that the program helps with is like it's an undoing and like it's a very, I will say for like our relationship and our lives, like our life is the definition of like the gift that sobriety can give you.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that.
Mine too.
100%. Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing in my life before sobriety.
Same as my husband.
Yeah. Nothing. There's nothing before it. There's nothing. It's like the world before Little Richard. There's nothing.
Yes.
You know?
Did you watch the podcast about Little Richard?
No.
Okay. You need to.
I fucking love Little Richard, man.
Okay. Well, there's a lot going on.
Really? Was
yes.
Was he a bad boy?
No, he was missing.
Oh.
And
I
so people.
Him.
You did?
He was on the old late night show.
Oh, you know what? They used clips from your show.
I look forward to the check.
Yeah.
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 He was amazing.
Yes. Well, they show you saying that.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah.
Good.
No, as in showing his brightness and incredible,
oh my God, yeah,
you know, energy and
yeah.
just making sure he's okay was like the summary of the podcast. But
yeah.
it's very, very good.
Yeah.
So good. I don't know the name. It's just, oh, it's so good.
I'll look it up.
Yeah. Look it up.
I could talk. Will you come back and do another episode? Because I feel like we've only scratched the surface
I know.
Of this show.
I would love that.
And we've been talking for about an hour. they're waving at me from the booth. I'm
oh
like,
my
oh,
God.
Shut up.
Literally, it's felt like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But so let's do it again and give your mum and dad my best.
I will. Moira and Chaz.
Moira and Chaz for Bishop Briggs. I fucking bet I know them. We'll definitely know.
Every
people.
Time you say, I bet I know them, your accent gets thicker.
Well, yeah, because I'm excited about it. And also, did your parents' accents change when they moved? Because I get such a fucking hard time from people in Scotland about my accent.
Yeah, they would, they had to slow down the way they were talking.
Right.
Yeah, especially if they were excited. Oh my God, if my dad's telling a joke.
Right.
Oh, it's over.
I know, yeah. Which for me, that's difficult in my line of work.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, look, we'll do this again.
We will.
You, in the meantime, will write the Bond thing, right? Write
yeah.
the Bond song, because
yeah.
you're clearly destined to do that.
Thank you. I would love that.
And it's been an absolute joy meeting
you. Thank you. All right. Me too.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth, no matter who you are, that mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Trinity School of Natural Health can help you be part of the fast-growing health and wellness industry. With an education that empowers communities, Trinity grads can change lives by applying natural health principles and techniques in holistic practices or stores selling nourishing health products. Offering 19 online programs that fit your busy schedule, you'll get training to help turn your passion into a career. Enroll today at trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.